Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Sudarshan Chemical Industries Limited earnings call for Q1 FY27 financial results. Please note all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Please note that this conference is being recorded. With that, I hand over the call to Mr. Ranjit Cirumalla from IIFL Capital. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Swapnil. Good morning, everyone. Ranjit Cirumalla here from IIFL Capital. We are pleased to host the conference call with the management of Sudarshan Chemical Industries Limited to discuss earnings performance, followed by an interactive Q&A session post-declaration of its Q1 FY27 results. From the management, we have with us today Mr. Rajesh Rathi, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Amitabh Mukhopadhyay, Non-Independent Non-Executive Director, Mr. Neelkanth Natu, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Amay Athale, Vice President, Finance. I now request Mr. Rathi ji to begin the proceedings. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, IIFL Capital and Ranjit ji for hosting us. It's a pleasure to, and thank you all for sparing your valuable time and joining this call. Truly excited to share our journey with you. Giving a small introduction to people who have joined the first time on the call, giving you some background. More than 18 months ago, March 25, Sudarshan kind of merged their business with Clariant, erstwhile Clariant and Vyborg together to form one of the most value-creating pigment leader rooted in customer centricity and agility and innovation, right? And this new entity would really create a new benchmark for the color industry. In total, we have, just to give you a footprint, now totally globally, we have 19 manufacturing sites, 11 countries in five continents, right? We have products, more than 1,600, more than 4,000 global customers, a turnover close to 1 billion, and, you know, on the way to kind of really boost our EBITDA. If you see our plants are very well spread across the globe, but the most competitive advantage for Sudarshan against any other player is that more than 60% of our assets, 50 to 60%, 55 to 60% of our assets are based in Asia, right? And that's a big competitive advantage for us. And this is the spread of our global manufacturing footprint. We also are very proud of our technical marketing centers, and we are able to this provides us to provide a differentiated solution to our customers. Giving you all some flavor on, before I actually go on to the Q1 performance, I wanted to give you a flavor on how the integration is going and what gives us the confidence that it has really laid down a very strong foundation. It's been a remarkable transformation journey for Sudarshan, and I've been blessed with leading this journey. If you go 2 to 3 years ago, our sales were in the tune of about 2,000 crores, with an EBITDA in the range of 200 to 250 crores, and a net debt of about 800 to, at a peak, let's say 950 to 1,000 crores. Right? Today, what we are, we are almost four times the revenue, four times our EBITDA, and our net debt is reduced by 60%. What we aspire to be is really seven times of what our EBITDA was in 23, right? And also reach a debt-free level, and that's our aspiration going forward. So, just to remind you, when we took over this business was driven by silos, regions, and there was no unified culture or a unified approach, right? What we feel very proud that we've created this one Sudarshan culture, one aim, one goal for every one of us to work towards, right? We are very happy and proud to say that we have opened our second global headquarters in Frankfurt. There were critical gaps in the leadership pipeline. If you look at finance, HR, legal, IT, supply chain, there were very big critical gaps, and we've been able to get very good talent now and set up a very good organization structure. And again, that gives us a great confidence and to boost our governance and our performance. There were complete lack of harmonized reporting systems. We were still working on more than four different SAPs, 130 different applications. So this adds to a lot of complexity and very difficult to get any financial information. What we are moving towards, we've set up a very good interim MIS, but we are moving towards an advanced one SAP project. We are well advanced with the one SAP project. We call it Project Integra, and we expect to go live with our integrated system and reducing a lot of complexities in this financial year. When we started looking at the business, the EBITDA was almost zero. Today, we have registered a strong EBITDA in Q1 of the acquired group of 146 crores in Q1, and feel very happy and satisfied with this performance. There were big cash flow issues, very high debt in the books when we acquired the business. Very glad to tell you that we have already been able to reduce the debt to 5. From the peak when we took over the business, the peak was at 922 crores, and we have brought this down in less than 18 months to 531 crores, and this journey will continue. So some of the priorities which we have kind of looked at, right? Customer centricity has been at the core, and we have been expanding, co-developing products, and our technical marketing is doing a great job and product management to create partnership with our customers. This makes a big difference. We have now set up a customer service world-class organization to ensure that the customer service is top-notch. In terms of value capture, or cost reduction, this has been a continuous focus and one of the most important areas along with customer centricity, which we've been driving. And today's performance, which we see, is majorly backed by this initiative. In terms of the org and operating model, we've set up a global capability center in Pune. We are also ensuring that we build center of excellence in these in this global capability center. One culture. I described this what we are doing, and we've also set up a second global headquarters. I spoke about SAP, and I think we are very, very happy that we would be going ahead and kind of launching, completing Project Integra, the one SAP project in this financial year. Coming now, actually, to the Q1 numbers. First, I think looking at a little bit of the Middle East crisis. As you all are aware, we are not very different to face these issues. We've faced energy cost spikes, everywhere in Europe, in India, substantially, where our substantial assets are based. We've seen substantial increase in raw material costs. Logistic costs have increased some, but more importantly, this whole logistic cycle has increased by 2 weeks. And because of so many uncertainties, many customers across industry have been kind of delaying their purchases, right? They don't want to, They don't want to create stocks, etc. from that perspective. And that kind of has been one of the areas, right? What we've done to address each of them is our procurement has ensured that we have enough safety stock so that, you know, the continuity of business is there. At the same time, supply chain is ensuring that we have the right inventory at the right place so that we don't overstock and have high cost inventories. Logistics, we had to increase some of our inventories in our subsidiaries because the longer logistic times and sales, we are working very closely with customers to ensure that we deliver the best solution. If you look at our Q1 performance, the Q1 performance has been very robust. There are three areas. One is first, the first four columns talk about legacy solution. Then the blue shaded column talks about could be acquired group, and then the pigment as global, right? And this has been very happy to share that now the numbers, what we've delivered, look solid, and we are now confident that we can continue building on this journey, right? Legacy solution, you see a good increase in sales. I would say, we should be able to continue a performance of in the region of 12 to 13% in that watermark figure from that perspective. In terms of acquired group, given all the geopolitical situation, we've still been able to grow by 5%. The good part is if you look at the reported and business EBITDA, we've been able to do a very good job in the acquired group. We've grown the EBITDA from the business EBITDA from 65 crores to 128 crores. And of course, the reported EBITDA from 78 crores to 146 crores. And as one Sudarshan delivered an EBITDA for the pigment business of 275 crores. Natuji, you want to add anything?
Yeah. So thank you, Mr. Rathi. So, as Mr. Rathi has mentioned, we started this year with a strong Q1 with a revenue of 2,600 plus crore and with the business EBITDA of 257 crore. As we mentioned in the couple of quarters earlier, we started reporting the business EBITDA. Just to remind, the business EBITDA is the operating profit from the actual sales without the impact of any inventory changes. So reported EBITDA for the acquired group for the quarter under consideration is 146 crore and the inventorized overhead impact due to increase in inventory is 18 crore. And so the business reported EBITDA, business EBITDA number is 128 crore. For the RECO business, we had one of the tough quarter to start with. The revenue from operation is at 38 crore, and we had faced challenges in the execution due to delays in the customer site readiness and also in some sites due to the subcontracting manpower availability. And this reduction in the revenue has led to the EBITDA drop. As we mentioned earlier, we are in the transformation journey for the RECO business. We remain confident about the business and the recovery in the coming quarters. This slide gives the business performance for one solution, including RECO business. So just to recapture the key numbers, the revenue from operation is 2,642 crore. With the business EBITDA of 247 crore and the reported EBITDA of 266 crore for the quarter under review, showing around 60% plus growth year on year and 5% in terms of the revenue. In terms of the key financial ratios for One Sudarshan, we are in a very healthy situation as far as the balance sheet is concerned. The earning per share for the quarter, which is not annualized, is 12.3 rupees per share. Return on capital is at 22.7%, and which is a very strong number. However, just to mention here, the return on capital employed number reported is based on the annualized number. We have a strong quarter to start with, and we expect the year to be also better, subject to the seasonality, which we normally see in the Q3. As far as the net debt number is concerned, we are at 531 crore, and that gives us the good leverage ratio of 0.2 in terms of net debt to equity. And net working capital on annualized number is at 23.6%. So overall, on the balance sheet and the key ratios, the performance is good and shows the solid position on the balance sheet.
Thank you, Dr. G. Looking at the outlook, I think, as we mentioned, we've entered FY27 with a strong profitability momentum and a growing conviction in its long-term position as one of the largest global pigment platforms, backed by a very broad technology depth and a global manufacturing footprint. I think this kind of sets up on the stage. We also feel much better in control of our business, global business now, and it's set up a very strong foundation for our growth. On an ongoing midterm basis, we have to navigate through the challenging market environment given the current geopolitical situation, and we will do that with all prudence. Our priorities still remain very strongly built for the year. Value capture remains a very, very important, our cost reduction still remains a very important driver, which will drive the growth, profitability growth. We want to ensure that we are able to release some cash also from the working capital in the remaining year. SAP and GCC again remain a very important priority for us. We feel very confident to deliver the numbers which we had stated, and we had given a guidance of earlier in the year of 700 million for the acquired group and 35 million EBITDA. Though the Q1 performance has been much stronger, currently we are not revising our guidelines given the geopolitical situation. We want to do a wait and watch situation and come back to and reconsider this after Q. Thank you. Thank you very much. And,
team, can we begin with the question and answer session now? Management team, can we begin with the question and answer session?
Yes, we can.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may click on the raise hand icon from the participants tab on your screen. We request participants to restrict to 2 questions each and then return to the queue for more questions. To rejoin the queue, you may click on the raise hand icon again. We'll wait for a few minutes until the question queue assembles. We are taking a first question now. We have Sanjesh Jain of ICICI Securities. Sanjesh, please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thanks for taking my questions. I got few of them. First, on the Q1 number, just wanted to understand the underlying growth, because if I adjust for the currency depreciation, because we now have a very large international business which has a translation gain, and the price increase because of the raw material inflation, it appears that this quarter at least the volume, underlying volume, has declined. In this backdrop, we are expecting a very solid growth over next 2 years, which is over 20% growth at the lower end of the guidance. Now, what gives us the confidence that being a number one player, we will grow at least 2 to 2.5x that of an industry growth rate? While this quarter implies some decline in the volume. That's my first question.
So, I think, firstly, I think, great question. I would say that the inference that the volume as a decline may not be very accurate given a very broad spectrum of our product range, right? We sell a product range right from 1 euro to 130, 40 euros. We are not able to kind of set that aside. However, given that we've seen a modest growth of 6% this quarter in spite of the geopolitical situation. We must remember that the last Q1, last year the Q1 included a lot of sales from the March onwards when we had taken over the business because on the acquired entity we were going live with some of the SAP areas. So the growth is better than that. What gives us confidence in delivering the growth and EBITDA? I would say let me talk about first the EBITDA. As I mentioned, it is a lot of value capture still coming in. You've not seen the full value capture still flowing into the numbers, right? And that journey will continue, and that is completely in our control. In terms of growing of the business, this is a business which has lost a lot of business, and we are looking to recover the business. So we are not saying that we will try and grow completely out of line, etc. But there's a lot of scope where we can regain some of the lost business. The business was lost because of various reasons, lack of focus, the insolvency issues, etc. Right? So this gives us the confidence of why we would deliver robust.
Got it, sir. There's one related question to this. You said that there's a lot of value yet to be captured. When you talk about the value, these are the cost efficiency benefit, and if it is, then how much of this journey from 800 to 1400, 1500 will be led by the revenue growth, and how much of it is the benefit of the value capturing that we are talking about?
I think the numbers are very clear. I mean, a substantial this would come from cost reduction or value capture.
Got it. My second question is on the CapEx plan. We have a large capacity. Can you help us in terms of where are we in the utilization cycle, and do we envisage any large CapEx requirement either from a product development category, new product, or backward integration that we foresee in, say, next 12 to 18 months?
From a volume perspective, we do not need any new CapEx, right? We have enough capacities to grow on the numbers which we've indicated. However, we are looking at some special initiative, either backward integration or special projects. And these are determined by the ROI, right? And if the return is good, we are going to do this. We don't expect any substantial or anything substantial. There would be some moderate damage.
Got it. One last question on the gross profit margin. This quarter, we did probably one of the highest margin, which is 54%. How do we see gross profit margin, and was there any benefit of a lower inventory which we were carrying, which may normalize, say, going in next 1 to 2 quarter? And what would be the impact if raw material prices start reversing again, and there already been accrued prices which have fallen down substantially from the peak?
So actually, if you were to look at the if you look at the business gross margins, right, the gross margin will not be that high, right? The gross margin movement from last quarter to this quarter on a basis will be about 2%.
Correct.
Out of this 2% movement, I would attribute this to kind of looking at some cost reduction areas which have come in yields, in utilities production, etc., right? From that perspective. And there is some very minor, I would say, one-off areas which we are looking from that perspective. So I would say that we should continue to be in the range of 50+ percent of gross margin.
Thanks, thanks. So just one question to add here. In
Sorry,
last one
Sanjesh,
year.
Just a request. Would you like to please rejoin the queue if you have any
follow-up?
Yeah, we
that.
Have
no,
other
no,
participants.
I will come back in the queue. No,
sure,
I will come
sure.
back on the queue. Thank you. Thank you,
Thank
sir.
you.
Thank you for answering all the questions and best of luck for the coming quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sanjesh. We'll take our next question now. Before that, just to remind all the participants, please restrict to two questions each and then return to the queue for a follow-up. We have Ankur Periwal of Axis Capital. Ankur, please go. Please unmute your microphone. Yes. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I'm audible?
Yes, we can hear you.
Great. Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. First question on, the guidance. While we are building in 5 to, let's say, 7% sort of a revenue CAGR, depending upon the range that we are looking at over the next, let's say, 2-3 years, how much of this will be volume and how much of this will be value? Value could be here more premiumization, etc. And related on the question on the margin side, the synergy benefits or the value capture that you mentioned is still pending. Over what timelines are you going to achieve that? Is it 28 only, or probably it will sort of flow through in 29 also?
Great question, sir. Ankur sir, like as I described, it is our product portfolio is very complex now. Right. Like I said, we sell a product which is €1 and we sell a product which is €130. So kind of looking at whether value growth or volume growth it's important that we grow and the growth is profitable, right? It should not hamper our gross margin. The growth should not hamper our gross margin. And that's what we are really focused and looking at, right? From that perspective. So that's the, first area. The second is the value capture will be continuous. We will be delivering more value capture in terms of FY 2027-28. A major portion will be FY 2027-28. Some will be, of course, some of the 28 value capture will also flow into the 29.
Sure, sir. Thanks for that. And a second question on, on the balance sheet side, on the debt repayment, what are our plans on the debt repayment side, given that, a lot of debt also sits on the global side? And, secondly, on Rico, earlier we had plans to hive off that business. Any revised thoughts on the same? Thanks.
What we had
debt,
the acquisition debt, what we had availed, partly we have repaid, very small part of it we have repaid, and we will be repaying some of the loan. As our net debt position is improving, as is visible in the presentation, we think we will be able to accelerate the payment of the acquisition debt.
On the Rico, sir, you want to continue?
On Rico, this the first quarter, we had faced certain execution challenges, primarily because of some of the subcontractors have faced difficulty with labor availability. We expect the things to normalize from the current quarter onwards. And we are confident that Rico will be posted by the year, before the year end, it will be posting a positive number. That is the work that we are trying to
do. So, Ankurji, summary is that our transformation of repo will continue. We will continue to see how we can get to better numbers.
Sure, Adhiji and Tavaji. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question coming in from Rohit Nagaraj of 360 One Capital. Rohit, please go ahead.
Again, unfortunately, on the guidance front, given that for FY29, for the consolidated business, we have significant improvement from FY27 to 29, almost 16-17% CAGR at the higher end. And on the EBITDA front also, it's closer to doubling. On the EBITDA front, do we expect that the acquired business will have margins of almost touching to double digits? And historically, have they any time done that? Thank you.
Historically, they did do double digits always consistently. And as I described the journey earlier to the earlier question was on the sales side, we are looking at a lot of business regain. And on the EBITDA side, we are looking at a lot of value capture, which will kind of come in as we drive. And this FY29, we have been holding this from day one, right? So we've not, this is not a new guidance.
Right. Got that, sir. So second question is, in the last 3 to 5 months, have we taken any material price increases and have they been completely absorbed? Obviously, there will be an element of the RM cost inflation, but we don't expect that the pricing should again correct and that may lead to some impact on the margins, right?
Can you... Are you saying, I didn't follow your question, Rohitji. Are you saying?
Yeah. I'll repeat it. Thank you. So in the last 3 to 5 months, in our portfolio, have we taken any price increases across our product portfolio? Obviously, there will be one element which will be because of the input cost inflation. And another element could be from the demand supply dynamics. Is it that these prices will sustain going forward, or if the demand supply situation again gets impacted, we'll have to reverse a part of that? Thank you.
Understood. So most of our cost increase, price increases right now have been only to pass on whatever cost increases we have experienced, right? In order to build the trust with customers, we have been very particular not to take any advantage of the demand and supply situation. So if the raw material prices kind of soften, etc., oil prices soften, etc., at that point, we will only reverse some of the pricing.
Sure. Thanks a lot. All the best.
Thank you, Rohit. We'll take our next question now. We have Nitesh Dhoot of Anand Rathi. Nitesh, please go ahead.
Hi team. Good morning and congratulations on a good set of numbers. My first question is, if you could lay down the strategy behind acquiring the 70% stake in Sudarshan Colorants, from the overseas subsidiaries. What is the rationale behind that? I mean, is it like any cash transfer that we are probably looking at from the, from the parent to the European entities for any deleveraging purpose, or what exactly is the thought process behind that?
So,
Nitesh,
thanks for the question. This decision it was envisaged right at the beginning. At the time of acquisition, we had gone for indirect acquisition, that is because of financing reason, it became simpler to acquire that, this entity through its earlier holding structure. But that time itself, it was a plan that eventually we would like to hold these shares directly from the from Sudarshan Chemical. And we are now just carrying out, it is only within the group holding structure rationalization, which was planned earlier itself. There is nothing further to that. And we don't see this will have any impact on the control business or anything.
All right, sir. And my second one is, if you look at the notes to the consolidated financial results, note number 9, that's, after 30th June, a wholly owned subsidiary signed an agreement with an employee representative body for an employee restructuring program, and the impact has not been quantified. So is that a European Works Council deal, and does it mean that a restructuring change, restructuring charge is coming up in Q2 or Q3? And if that is the case, how much would that charge be, and whether that's built in your EBITDA, EBITDA guidance for FY27?
As was mentioned in the note that we will be, right now the quantification was not possible. By end of Q2, I think we should have clarity on the quantification of this. As of now, we cannot provide anything more than that because the numbers are quite pretty. So by next quarter, we will be able to provide more color.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot. These are my questions. I wish you the best for the coming quarters.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Nitesh. We have Archit Joshi of Nuvama with his question now. Archit, please unmute your microphone.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Sir, if you can share your thoughts on the four key application areas industry-wise that we cater to, your outlook on that from a near-term perspective, how are we seeing demand in, let's say, paints, packaging, plastics, inks, and some of the other specialty applications that you have started to cater to now, especially after the Heubach acquisition. So your thoughts, sir.
So thank you. So if you look at the coatings market, the current situation in US, both the decorative market, which is the house paint market, and the automotive have been subdued, and both in US and Europe. From that perspective, if you look at plastics, given the, and this is probably short term, given the whole geopolitical situation, there has been a substantial increase in polymer prices. And that's where I think our customers are running, have the whole value chain has dried up. They do not want to keep high cost inventories and, there's a hand-to-mouth kind of supply situation, and that's why you see the cycles in plastics. In printing inks, the volume-driven, printing ink has been a little bit on the decline market, in general, as a long-term trend, given the digitalization. So the volume-driven market is declining, however, some of the specialty markets where there are stringent regulations for packaging, etc. That market has been grown from that perspective. If you look at, we kind of divided into special applications, which is several applications there, which is agro, which is digital inks, etc. That market we are seeing a good growth.
Got it, sir. So my second one, on the RM basket, prior to the acquisition, a few important RM that we used to track as analysts, beta naphthol, 2B acid, 4B acid. Firstly, how are they placed in terms of the existing supply chain? And after the acquisition, how has your RM basket widened? I mean, which would be the critical raw materials that we would be requiring now, let's say for these specialty pigments or even if we have, broadened our azo pigment portfolio. So if you can share that would be really helpful. Thank you.
Sure. So I think we look at various categories, right, of raw materials. So the categories, the categories would not have changed. Like, for example, let's say benzene, toluene-driven, acetic acid or aryl-driven, nitrite-driven, benzene. But I think what are phosphorus-driven, market or, categories. But what has changed in our product mix is there is a good, azos is good, but I think high performance has grown substantially, and our pigment dispersion business has grown substantially, and that those categories then become more important.
Sure. So would the same RM be used for these azos and specialties? Would that be a fair assumption?
No, they are different.
Okay, so those are also certain special polymers or something that you would require. I mean, if you can name, that will be really helpful to track the underlying RM.
It's the category, sir. It is like phosphorus-driven category becomes important there. And then there are very specific categories which we can share with you offline later with our purchasing, how we track that. Yeah.
Sure, that works, sir. Thanks and all the best for the coming quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you, Archit. We have Rashmi Gohil of Arihant Capital with a question. Rashmi, please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Thanks for giving me this opportunity. Q1 revenue annualizes to roughly 10,600 crores, which is already above the top end of your 9,800 to 10,200 crores FY27 guidance. While business EBITDA margin 9.4% is running ahead of what 800 crores EBITDA, which implies on that revenue base. Are you reaffirming FY27 guidance as is? Or is there upside bias, and how much of this Q1 strength was one-off versus structural?
As I mentioned in my presentation, ma'am, that great question from your side. But as I mentioned that we, I think our results are solid. There aren't many one-offs. There may be a few areas, and that's why we are kind of talking, we are bringing out the business EBITDA, right, from that perspective. However, as I said, given the current geopolitical situation, we want to do a wait and watch. We want to wait and watch, look at how Q2 comes out, and hence we are not revising our guidelines currently. We will revisit this end of Q.
Okay. My next question is, what is the phasing assumption for acquired group margin improvement through FY27? Is 6-7% the new steady state, or is there a path back towards Sudarshan legacy like margins 15% plus?
Our guidance, which we have been given, I don't think we, the guidance would be 15%, but the area where we would want to look at for the acquired group is in high single digits or low double digit numbers.
Okay, thank you so much. All the very best for the next upcoming quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rashmi. We'll take our next question now. We have Gatha Jain of Monomer Capital. Gatha, please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm a little new to the company, so my question might be very basic. I just wanted to understand the contract part of our business. How do we have the contract with our clients? Is it like a long-term contract or a short-term contract? And are we able to pass on the raw material prices in terms of contract?
Ma'am, with your questions, it does not seem you're new to the company. I think great questions. I think our business is quite a repetitive business, right? So to change any of the pigments in the coating industry, you know, is a substantially long period, and it will depend from customer to customer, but it may take, you know, anywhere between 1 to 2 years, right? And if it's automotive paint, it would even take 5 years, right? So that way it's a sticky business from that perspective. Generally, what we like to do is we love to negotiate quarterly prices with our customers. And given any, you know, in a steady state of the business, you know, that business kind of flows in. But when there are these current ups and downs in the geopolitical and raw materials move and costs move, we look at passing on those increases.
All right. Thank you so much. That's all from my side.
Thank you, Gatha. We have Pratham Kankaria of Quantum AMC. Pratham, please unmute your microphone.
Thanks. So, Ravi, just one question. So, you know, India business has grown much faster. So, in past, you have mentioned that, you know, you would be transferring some products from the Germany base to India base. So, is that the same effect which we are seeing in the India business?
There is some business which our intercompany businesses do, which we have gained from that perspective. So partially that is correct. We've been producing here and selling in and vice versa. So there it does have that impact.
Okay, and how should we see margins going forward, you know, like assuming there might be some gain with the low-cost inventory that we had, like, on raw material front?
As we described, at a one Sudarshan level, if you see both together, there aren't many one-offs, right? Going forward, we've already given the guidance of how we look forward to this year.
Oh, well, thanks. Thank you,
Pratham. We have Viraj Mahadevia of MoneyGrow with this question now. Viraj, please unmute your microphone.
Hi, sir. I'm new to the company, but congratulations on an astute bit of deal-making here with Heubach. Quick question, sir. Before Heubach started its troubles a few years ago, it used to be a €1 billion top-line business. Sudarshan more recently has done 9,000 crores in top-line. So the combination of the two, do you see a more aggressive growth, revenue growth, going forward as you can build effectively another Sudarshan out of this acquisition in terms of top line, or are you being more selective and measured in your revenue growth because, you know, you're cutting off unprofitable some business or you have excessive China competition in certain product lines? Can you give us some view around why the revenue growth won't be more aggressive in the next 2 to 3 years?
So, a great question, sir. So just looking at if you look at Heubach was made of two companies, Kurzweil, Clarion, and the Heubach business, right?
Right.
That was integrated and you're right, it was about 1 million, but I think as soon as the integration happened, a lot of business was lost, right? And the business was lost. And that's where I think when we look at our projections, what we are looking at is given our market share, current market share, it is difficult to grow beyond what the market size is going. But we have put in a lot of numbers here because we believe there is a substantial opportunity in capturing lost sales, right? And that's where I think we are looking at it. And I think from an EBITDA perspective, also looking at how do we, reduce costs and ensure that there is a lean operations, right? That's where I think we improve the EBITDA margins.
Yeah, so I agree on the cost side and the synergies and China plus one coming from India. But on the revenue side itself, even if Heubach was doing 5,000 crores equivalent of revenue after the acquisition, that leaves substantial growth to potentially to recapture some of that lost business. Is that on the agenda? Because you should be able to grow your market share faster than the overall market.
Absolutely, sir. And that's where if you see our slide number nine, that's where I think we've done our projection on the investor deck, right? From that perspective, where we said we could reach 12,000 crores plus.
Right. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Requesting participants to please click on the raise hand icon from the participants tab if you wish to ask a question. Any participants? All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question. I will now hand it over back to the management team for their closing remarks. Over to you, management team.
Thank you. Thank you, Ranjit and IIFL Capital. And thank you, participants, for joining the quarterly earnings call. We remain confident in our journey going ahead and looking forward to interacting with you in the coming quarter. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions on behalf of Sudarshan Chemical Industries Limited, that concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for joining us, and you can now click on the leave icon to exit the meeting. Thank you all for your participation.